Welcome to Slaking Thirsts, a podcast that's all about bringing the thirst deep within our hearts for love and communion to the heart of Christ, a divine heart, who is seeking our love and communion in return. The hope is that the two thirsts would meet and both thirsts would be slaked. Good morning, everyone. Well, it may be easy or just make sense to say this phrase, but we have to revisit it quite a bit, which is that things matter at a particular place at a particular time. And if we miss the particular place and particular time, we don't get to participate in whatever the thing is. So, for example, this Tuesday, 40 of us will be getting on a plane to go on a pilgrimage in France. We see all the beautiful saint shrines and all the beautiful churches and the history of the church in France, in addition to America's own connection in Normandy and things like this. But if you aren't at that particular gate at the airport at that particular time, you're not participating in the goodness and joy of the pilgrimage. You missed it. So we seem to know that time and space, or time and place, really matters. Another one that all of us kind of know very well from this past week was the eclipse, right? We all knew times, and we all knew, my gosh, Cleveland, Ohio, we were buzzing again, and this time without LeBron James. It was amazing, right? And everyone wanted to know about Cleveland, okay, because we were in the path of totality. But if you lived in like upstate Michigan, which I heard from some people, or down further south in Ohio, you didn't get to see the fullness of the eclipse because you weren't in the path of totality. Or if you were working, you came outside at 4 o'clock, you missed it. You had to be in a particular place at a particular time in order to participate in all the fullness. This is because you and I are what philosophers will call time-bound or space-bound. It's what it means to be a particular person. It's what it means to have a body. To be somebody or have a body means you are here at St. Basil's at 9:17 a.m. on this Sunday. You aren't anywhere else in the world. The reason we have to revisit this basic truth of human existence is because technology makes us feel like we can be in a lot of places at once. But we can't. We're in one place at a time. This is very much captured in the scriptures and in the gospels. Nearly every time Jesus appears, they let us know what day it was or what was going on. So, last week we had Divine Mercy Sunday. It's the story of Doubting Thomas. It says he comes to them and they're all gathered at a particular place and he stands in the midst of them there. But St. Thomas, the apostle, isn't there. He's somewhere else. So what happens? He misses out on the joy, the love, and the power of the risen Jesus. So when he comes back, they say, listen, he came to us. He was here. Once again, a place. Here. At a particular time, you were out doing literally only God knows. And he goes, I don't believe you. I didn't see it. And you're right. You missed out, Thomas. You're now an outsider. You don't get to have all the fullness of the experience. But Jesus loves Thomas. So he shows up again, particularly for Thomas. This time, Thomas is where he needs to be, with the church. And as he's with the church, he gets to now encounter all the awe, the confusion, the adventure, the power of the risen Jesus. Similarly, in another resurrection account, it's called The Road to Emmaus. It happened right before what we heard today in the gospel. The two disciples are going to a town, it says, called Emmaus, 7 miles away from Jerusalem. So we have a lot of place. Jerusalem. These two are going away from Jerusalem to a town 7 miles away. Somewhere on that journey, it says, on the first day of the week, Jesus drew near to them, risen from the dead, although they didn't know it was him. Once again, it was a particular place at a particular time. And what does he do with them? He gathers them up and sends them back to Jerusalem to be back with the church where we hear today's gospel. These disciples are back, And Jesus comes into their midst while they're telling them, hey, we were just on the road and Jesus appeared to us at this place. And then he told us, go back, we got to go back. So we wanted to go back to tell you he is alive, we saw him. And while they're telling him, Jesus shows up and stands in their midst. So once again, at a particular time, when these apostles are telling them, at a particular place, inside locked doors, fear of the Jews, he appears to them. Time and place. Okay, I think we can all feel that he's building up to something. Make your point now. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll keep going, okay? You have no control. It's wild. It's a free show up here. Who knows? Here's the point. Why does the Catholic Church mandate every Sunday, barring some extreme reasons, you have to be at Mass? Because we need your envelopes. No. That's what some of you think and you tell people. I've been at parties. I've heard you. That's not why. It's because Jesus shows up at particular places at particular times. And he told the church, I will be with you always. How? In the sacramental life of the church. And then through your own prayer and scripture, rosaries, your acts of charity to the poor. But first and foremost, in the sacramental life of the church. Jesus appears in his risen, transformed body in the Gospels. His appearance is different, but it's the same reality. It's the transformed or transubstantiated, is our Catholic term, bread and wine, turned into his real body and blood. You encounter the risen Lord at every single Mass, crucified and risen, present on the altar at every Mass. And then he touches you at a particular time, at a particular place, as you bring in his life into yours. How? Through your bodies. Particular time, particular place. This is why we ask for it every single week. We say, you need to be here every week unless there's something really big deal going on, meaning you're taking care of someone. Maybe you work and couldn't get out of work. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you tried your hardest and you were trying to get here to get back from vacation and your car broke down. God is reasonable. The church is reasonable. All right? But barring that, we expect every single week because we know that Jesus is asking you to. He asks us every week to gather and be fed by him. We also know the human heart needs it. And so, is it a pain? Yeah, way harder for you than me. I walk across a parking lot. All right, and this is my thing. With all of you who have kids over there in the gathering space for Children of the Word, I mean, it's a miracle you get here every week. There's two miracles, the Eucharist and you. But don't doubt for a minute that even though it's annoying and hard, and I'm sure there's some fights on the way at times, sometimes it's wonderful, but sometimes it's not, that it doesn't matter. Or why are we doing this? Because you cannot participate in the fullness of the good news of Jesus for your family, your marriage, your kids, your life, your work, your school, your home, society, staying at home. Some of you are live streaming and you cannot physically get here. And if that's the case, we understand it. But make no mistake, what we experience here, you don't experience at home, and you feel that. You feel that pain in your heart. And that's why we do our best to get Eucharistic ministers into your homes. But it is not the same. Live stream does not count, right? Unless it has to count because you can't get here, right? So just to kind of reinforce the importance of this, I thought I'd do something I never do. I want to read something to you. Now, it's not too long. It's literally a little book, and it's only a page and a half, okay? So we got our attention spans ready. Here we go. This was written by St. Justin Martyr. St. Justin Martyr died in the year 150. All right, so we're talking about a year 140 he wrote this. This is about the same time the scriptures are finally being written down. So this is very early. All right, put it this way, this is one of the first Catholics, 2,000 years ago, writing. All right, so there's got a certain historical interest because it's very close to the events, okay? But as I read this, he's describing what is the celebration of the Eucharist like for people in the year 140. And I want you to notice, here we are almost 2,000 years later, and to listen how similar it is. To show you once again, even historically, we can show that what we're doing, the first apostles and the first disciples of the first apostles were doing. And so here it is, St. Justin Martyr. We do not consume the Eucharistic bread and wine as if it were ordinary food and drink. For we have been taught that as Jesus Christ our Savior became a man of flesh and blood by the power of the Word of God, so also the food that our flesh and blood assimilates for its nourishment becomes the flesh and blood of the incarnate Jesus by the power of his own words contained in the prayer of thanksgiving. That's what we call the Eucharistic prayer. Word Eucharist means thanksgiving. Back to St. Justin Martyr. The apostles, in their recollections, which are called gospels, handed down to us what Jesus commanded them to do. They tell us that he took bread, gave thanks, and said, "Do this in memory of me. This is my body." In the same way, he took the cup. He gave thanks and said, "This is my blood." The Lord gave us this command to them alone. Ever since then, we have constantly reminded one another of these things. The rich among us help the poor, and we are always united. For all that we receive, we praise the Creator of the universe through his Son Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. On Sunday, now remember, this is year 140. On Sunday, we have a common assembly of all members, whether they live in the city or outside. The recollections of the apostles, known as the Gospels, or the writings of the prophets are read. When the reader has finished, the president of the assembly speaks to us. That's currently happening. He urges everyone to imitate the example of the virtues in life that we have heard in the readings. Then we all stand and pray for others together. On the conclusion of our prayer, bread and wine and water are brought forward. The president offers prayers and give thanks to the best of his ability, and the people give their assent by saying, "Amen." The Eucharist is distributed, everyone present communicates, and the deacons take it to those who are absent. So that's Deacon Rob, but then that gets delegated to all of the lay ministers who help us, because there's so many. The wealthy, if they wish, may make a contribution, and they themselves decide the amount. The first envelopes. Okay. The collection is placed in the custody of the president, who uses it to help those in need or for anyone in distress. In a word, he takes care of all those in need. We hold our common assembly on Sunday because it is the first day of the week, the day on which God put darkness and chaos to flight and created the world. And because on that same day, our Savior Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He was crucified on a Friday, and on Sunday, he appeared to his apostles and disciples and taught them the things that we have passed on for your consideration. The year 140. We're still doing it. That's in different political regimes, different forms of government, different levels of persecution, different levels of freedom, different languages, certainly different styles at different times, but those elements have never changed. From the apostles who were closest to Jesus, who received the divine life at Pentecost through the Holy Spirit, they continued to make newly baptized and newly initiated members into the mystical body of Christ and raised up men to be ordained deacons, priests, and eventually successors of the apostles known as bishops. And they have taught, clarified, challenged, equipped through the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the sacrament and formed men and women for 2,000 years. Here's what every one of those saints and martyrs have in common. They're dead. You're now the church. The world is now entrusted to you. Not because you're so smart or you work so hard. Because today and every Sunday, you're given the very body and blood of Jesus. His power is in you. And you now have the capacities he had to transform the world. And in case we think it's hopeless, we have a 2,000-year tradition as Catholics to realize it has worked, it will work, and it only works because he is risen and he's among us and he nourishes us. And at the end of Mass, I don't say stay, I say go. The world is yours because you are his. Amen.